From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. After decades of estrangement, Cuba opens its embassy in Washington. The Cuban flag flies today over the country's newly established embassy in Washington, ending a decades-long diplomatic rupture caused by the Cuban Revolution. Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez took part in the event and also met with U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry.
Nothing is more futile than trying to live in the past. President Obama believes, and so do I, that our citizens benefit far more from policies that aim to shape a better future. There is, after all, nothing to be lost and much to be gained by encouraging travel between our nations, the free flow of information and ideas, the resumption of commerce, and the removal of obstacles that have made it harder for families to visit their loved ones.
The Cuban foreign minister demanded an end to the U.S. trade embargo and a return of Guantanamo, which is now a U.S. military base. President Obama Monday met at the White House with his Nigerian counterpart, Muhammadu Buhari, with the main issues, the Boko Haram insurgency and corruption, high on their list.
On both these issues, we're looking forward to hearing more about his plans and how the United States can partner with Nigeria so that Nigeria ends up being an anchor not only of prosperity and stability, but can also be an outstanding role model for developing countries around the world.
The four-day trip is Mr. Buhari's first to Washington since taking office in May, in a rare peaceful transition of power in Nigeria. He meets Nigeria's diaspora later Tuesday. This is VOA News. The UN Security Council Monday voted unanimously to approve the Iran nuclear agreement aimed at restraining Tehran's nuclear program in exchange for a lifting of sanctions. The council directed the International Atomic Energy Agency to verify and monitor Iran's compliance. U.S. UN Ambassador Samantha Power says the agreement gives Tehran a chance to prove it intends to pursue a peaceful nuclear program.
If Iran seizes that opportunity, if it abides by the commitments that it agreed to in this deal, if it builds upon the mutual respect and diligence that its negotiators demonstrated in Lausanne and Vienna, and if it demonstrates a willingness to respect the international standards upon which our collective security rests, then it will find the international community and the United States willing to provide a path out of isolation and toward greater engagement.
She cautioned the deal does not diminish concerns over Iran's human rights record, its support of terrorism, and its ballistic missile program. A suicide bombing in Turkey's southeastern city of Suric Monday killed at least 31 and left dozens more wounded. Turkey suspects it was the work of Islamic State militants. European Union interior ministers failed on Monday in Brussels to find temporary housing on the continent for tens of thousands of African, Asian, and Middle Eastern asylum seekers in Greece and Italy after their perilous journeys across the Mediterranean. Dimitris Avramopoulos is the EU Commissioner for Migration.
It is clear member states must deliver on the promises made at the European Council last month to reach the agreed figure of 40,000 persons proposed by the Commission. I want to be frank with you. I'm disappointed that this did not happen today.
Nearly 140,000 have fled war, persecution, and poverty for European destinations in the first 6 months of the year. North Korea says it has no interest in negotiations similar to those between Iran and world powers that would result in Pyongyang giving up its nuclear capabilities. A foreign ministry statement Tuesday said Pyongyang, quote, is always subjected to provocative U.S. military hostilities, including massive joint military exercises and a grave nuclear threat. Burundians are going to the polls Tuesday amid an opposition boycott over President Pierre Nkurunziza's quest for a third term. Members of the opposition say the country's political crisis, including widespread intimidation and the threat of violence, does not allow for free, fair, and peaceful elections. At least two people, a policeman and a civilian, were killed in overnight attacks. The trial of former Chadian dictator Ihsen Habré got underway in Senegal Monday. The 72-year-old former leader charged with the deaths of thousands of Chadians during his eight-year rule, which ended in 1990. Habré was arrested in June 2013 outside the Senegalese capital, Dakar. He has refused legal representation, insisting he does not recognize the court's jurisdiction. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.